preach, teach. He said, he said, baptize, make disciples of everything. He says, if it moves, then it needs to know I'm good, because a lot of people don't know I'm good. And that's generally what Jesus had said to his disciples. He said, go preach and teach. Tell the world the gospel, the good news, that life is filled with bad news, but it can have good news in it. See, that's what Jesus said. That's what God wants us to know. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do. And you know what? Something happens is when somebody who's only used to hearing bad news hears good news in their life, something changes. The way they look at life, the way their heart beats, the way that they walk, the way that they talk, the way that they treat their dog. Things begin to change from the inside to the outside. And that's what we need to be. That's what we need to have inside of us. You know, because in the end, you know, we can come into a building and we can hear some things and we can become polite people, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. I don't like no rude people, especially when I'm trying to roll up and get my white mocha frappuccino. I want no rude person giving me a frappuccino. I mean, I'll take it anyway. But I don't want it, because then you start thinking, what do they do to my drink? They spit in it. But I don't like rude people. I don't like rude people, and I don't like being rude. But God has something more. Church is something bigger than. The Bible is more than making polite, kind people. It's about causing people to be changed from the inside out. Because let's face it, you and me, we're pretty jacked up. We got problems, we got issues, we got dilemmas, we got problems. Hey, we're all in the same boat in that aspect, because there's all inside of something, there's something inside of us that's broken that needs to be fixed. And the only fix for that is a man named Jesus. And the world we live in today, it's a joke. He's become a cartoon character. He's become a bobblehead that you put on your dashboard. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Jesus has become. But I'm here to say that I think it's time to straighten the record out. I think it's time to get the story right, because Jesus and this thing called Christianity is about souls. Because there's a piece of me and there's a piece of you that's going to last forever. And forever, I don't know if you've thought about this, is a long time. And if I'm going to have a forever, I want it to be a good forever. Because life seems long enough as it is to do bad. But to do forever bad, I don't want none of that. And there's too many people out there who have forevers that are not headed to be good. You see, it's about souls. It's about living like we sang today. It's like we see in what London has been doing over the past 12 months. It's what some of you guys are in this place doing. It's about introducing a lost soul to the right directions so they can be found. And the question today is, what are you doing, Pastor Richard? I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Because Pastor Richard, I came to church and I don't know souls. I mean, are we talking about R&B? Are we talking about Marvin Gaye up in this place? Are we talking about Stevie Wonder? Because I like soul too. I like soul, Pastor Richard. I like Cajun food, you know? And that's cool. But here's what I'm talking about. There's too many people out there with broken lives. They need to be fixed. I got people in my family that need to be changed, because every day they wake up and they're hurt. You, for the past so many months, have walked the halls of your schools and have seen too many broken hearts. We've laughed at too many jokes that maybe are too real for some people. We've seen too many breakups. We've seen too many fights. Look, I went to Grand Terrace High School a couple weeks ago. I preached at the Christian club. First thing I saw when I got out of Grand Terrace High School was fight! People throwing water bombs. It was like I was in the jungle or something like that. I was like, where? No. And I was thinking, yeah, I was looking for my knife or something like that. I was like, I got to cut a fool before I get hurt. Look. People are so hurt in life that all they know how to do is hurt other people. Some of you guys have parents like that. Some of you guys have a brother or a sister or a cousin or an auntie or an uncle like that. Some of you guys have a grandma or a grandpa like that, that they're so hurt, all they know how to do is hurt other people. Some of you guys have or had friends like that. I mean, some of you guys in this place are that you have hurts on the inside of you, don't know really what to do except continue to hurt yourself and other people. And I think Jesus can fix that. No, strike that. rewind the tape. I know Jesus can fix that because that's what he did for me. And that's what he can do for you. And if you look at it inside of your life, if you're a part of this church, if you call yourself a Christian, if you really, really, really are, I'm not talking like you go to church and bring your Bible and whatever. I'm not saying you like to sing the songs. I'm not saying you like to sit in our brand new brown chairs, just the dark ones. The other ones are old. I'm saying that you really believe in Jesus, like he's your everything. Then Jesus has changed your life too. If he's done that to you, for you, through you, in you, why are you going to be stingy and keep it to yourself? You see, it's about souls. Because to really be a Christian, the only way to really truly be a Christian, somebody who follows Jesus, is to be somebody who introduces Jesus to other people. Because if you are not doing that, then by definition, you are not a Christian. You're not. Because Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, then you're going to do what I do. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I share about myself. I change people's lives where I go. If your faith is private, my friend, I don't even think God knows about it. Because faith is never meant to be a private thing. And let me tell you this. Oh, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad here. But let me tell you this. I'm really glad somebody invited me to church. I'm really glad somebody wasn't too embarrassed to say, hey, you want to go to church? I'm really glad somebody wasn't too embarrassed to say, hey, you know, Jesus can fix your problems. I'm really glad somebody wasn't too embarrassed. I'm really glad they weren't afraid of losing me as a friend one day. I'm really glad when I was a little boy, my crazy Tia Linda sat me down and told me what heaven was like. I love my crazy Tia Linda, even though she's crazy. I don't think she's going to listen to this, but if she does, Tia Linda, I love you even though you're crazy. I hope she doesn't listen to this. Okay. My God. It saved my life. Maybe it's time for you to save somebody else's life because this summer is about winning souls. This summer is about having Jesus do something inside of your heart so much that it affects the hearts around you. Yeah, I want to do this. Let me go ahead and do this. I want to invite Mark Polo up here. If you don't know Mark, you should. He's a good guy. But Mark, get up here real quick, bro, because he's got a story, and he's got a story he's got to share. So, Mark, what's up, dude? You don't have a mic. You don't have a mic yet, so you could use mine.
What's up, y'all? Oh, come on! I said, what up, y'all? Can I get up here? There we go. All right. Okay. What's up, everybody? How's everybody doing tonight? I feel like I'm doing announcements right now. Hey, anyways. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Mark Polo. Go ahead, call me Polo. I'm one of the leaders here in the Rock Youth. I'm also one of the ushers in the back. So for all you guys that are texting, we're watching you. I don't want to call nobody out, but we see you guys. We ain't dumb. I ain't blind. Anyways, so I get a privilege to share my testimony. Some of you guys might relate to this, some of you don't, but I pray that you guys do find something in it. So, if I start crying, my bad, I'm already spitting. If I start crying, bear with me, okay? Because it's tough. So, like I heard Pastor Rich say a while ago, you know, jacked up. And I hear Pastor Joel say that a lot. Like, I'm jacked up. We're all jacked up. So, when I was younger, I mean, I'm not saying that now I'm not jacked up. I still am a little bit. But anyways, when I was younger, I was going through a lot. I was jacked up. I'm going to just straight out just come out and say it. When I was 12, I had my first drink of alcohol. 12 years old. I was 6th grader, 7th grader. I was already drinking. I did my first drug at the age of 13. That's way younger than some of the youth kids that are over there in junior high. I was drinking. I was smoking. But I was doing that because I felt like, you know, it was just, I didn't feel loved inside. And I had a role model who was my older brother. How many people have older brothers and older sisters that they look up to? Okay, a few of you. Okay, some of you guys put your hands down It's okay, because my older brother, I looked up to so much. My older brother, he was my role model. He was somebody who I wanted to be. And I wanted to be him because everything that he was doing, I mean, he had the cars, he had the motorcycles, he had the girls. I wanted to be him. And I looked at it and I was like, well, how do I be him? Well, I saw what he was doing. He was drinking. He was doing stuff on the side. And that just got me like, you know what? I could have all that stuff if I was doing what he was doing. So I started doing what he was doing. But later on down the years, it was tough. Because my role model ended up going to prison. My oldest brother is now in prison doing 17 years to life, who I thought was my role model. So I had to take another look at my own life, and I had to think, do I still want to do this, or do I want to be somebody else? Now, I'm not going to get into details about my brother or about what he did, but just know that he's doing 17 to life. To life, that means that he might not ever get out. I might not ever see him no more. But you know what? For me, that was a wake-up call. That God spoke to me and said, you need a change. And you know what? The moment that that happened, I met somebody at my work who was coming to church who ended up being a bigger role model than my brother is. And we ended up becoming friends, all that stuff, and we started having Bible studies. I never came to the Rock, but he invited me. He invited me to a play that was, you know, a few years back called Dominion. Some of you guys might not know. Some of you guys don't. It's okay. But he invited me. I came. And I loved it, everything. But I just didn't follow through with it. But I looked at the life that I was living. And I knew something had to be done. Because where my brother ended up. But years after that my coworker brought me to the Rock, I didn't want to come back, but God called me, and he brought me back. And I can say it's almost like 5 years, I think, that I've been coming to the Rock, and I have not stopped. And God changed me. But what's an even bigger reward is that my brother, who is in prison, who's serving 17 to life, is in church preaching the word of God. He got saved in prison. So now it's like my role model was my brother. He went into prison. You know, I stopped looking at him. I started following other people and, you know, men of God. And I kept pursuing God. And now my brother, who I see, but it's kind of hard on where he's at. But I still see him. And before, when me and my brothers were growing up, all we were talking about is, oh, what are we going to drink? Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, this, oh, that. But now when I go see my brother, it's all about, hey, did you know in the word of God it says this? Hey, did you know in the word of God Jesus said this? And that's something that I look up to now. Now my older brother is like, he told me that I'm his role model. And that's kind of, you know, crazy. Just to think that my oldest brother is looking up to me now. Crazy, right? So I have a lot more to say, but I'm, for time-wise, you know, I'm going to just hand the mic back over. But I hope you guys did get something, you know, out of that. So, Pastor Rich.
Let's give up for Mark.
You know, like Mark has said, I've known Mark for years, and I've seen him do the progression from first starting to come, and now, you know, God's blessed him, and he's got a family, he's got a wife, a little baby. I mean, God's where he was is not where he's at, and that's because somebody cared about his soul. That's because somebody saw something broken on the inside of him and said, you know what, I think I know how I can help you. I think today I can do something to change your life. And in that same way, we need to begin to see that inside of other people. Not that, because, you know, here's the thing: is nowhere did Mark ever say that anybody looked down on him, that they saw the wrong or the evil in him. No, they said, you know, they just saw an answer to a question that he had in his life, to where all of a sudden he realized, and his eyes were open, and said, you know what? Look, the way I thought life was supposed to be is not the way it is, and now it's time for something to change. And now his life has changed because of it. See, that's where we need to see ourselves. In the book of Mark, in the second chapter, there's a story that's really similar to kind of what we're talking about. And it's not in the exact way you think it would be. It says, and again, in Mark, the second chapter in verse 1, it says, and again, Jesus entered Capernaum, the city called Capernaum, after several days. It was heard that he, Jesus, was in this man's house. So immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. The house was packed shoulder to shoulder with people, men, women, and children, trying to listen to Jesus talk. It says, they came to him, It says so that there's no longer any room to receive, not even to stand near the door. This is Jesus preached the word to all the people. And then the people came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, a man who was paralyzed, carried by his four friends. And when they could not come near him, Jesus, because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. They went upstairs. They began to rip a hole open in the roof where Jesus was preaching. So when they had broken through, they broke a hole in the ceiling of the house. That's pretty jacked up. It says they let down the bed, which was on the bed that the paralytic was lying on. Jesus saw the friend's faith, and he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes, which were the religious leaders, were sitting in there, and they were reasoning in their hearts. They said, "Why is this man speaking such blasphemy about this?" He says, "Who can forgive sins except for God alone?" All the religious people started getting all upset. But immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had reasoning these things inside themselves and said, "Look, why are you thinking about these things in your hearts? Is it easy for me to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven you'? Or is it easier for me to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'?" But you know what? So that you can know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says, you know what? He says to the paralytic, he says, you know what? Arise, take up your bed, and get out this house. Immediately it says he rose, took up his bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." You see, four friends saw a need inside of their one friend. They said, "Our friend's jacked up. Our friend," you know, look, a lot of times this is what happens, is we see our friends, we see people with issues, and what we say is, you know what, they're gonna live their life the way they are, I'm gonna live my life the way, who am I to say this to them? I'm not gonna bug them, I don't wanna get them upset, because you know what, everybody lives their life their own way, right? Live and let live. They got their thing, I got my thing, I'm gonna do my thing, I'm gonna do then they're gonna do them, and that's just the way it is. And you know, how easy would it have been for them to say, you know what, our friend's paralyzed, you know, he's lived this way for years, maybe his whole life, I mean, why do I want to bug him? I don't want to make him feel like there's something wrong with him. He can't do anything about it. I'm not going to make fun of him because he can't move his legs or whatever. So we're just going to let him be. And, you know, let's just come over to Jesus. And let's just let him hear Jesus. I mean, let's just let him do him because nobody can do anything about it. They said, no. There's something wrong with my friend. And I love my friend so much to let him stay the same. No, you know what? Jesus has answers for this man. So we're going to do whatever it takes to get our friend who is paralyzed close to Jesus so Jesus can solve his problems. And Jesus solved his problem. He didn't heal him. He said, "You're forgiven." Because that was his biggest problem, was not the fact that he couldn't move his legs. The biggest problem was the fact that he had sin in his life. That was his biggest problem. And everybody started getting a hissy fit. "Oh, look what Jesus is doing. Oh, Jesus thinks he's bad." He's like, "What, you think this? You think this is big? Watch this. Boom! You're fixed now, physically." He's like, "Oh, hey, party." He's like dancing out, hoo-hoo, clicking his heels. Brother got healed inside and out. See, they saw a need. And here's the thing, here's the second thing, is they had the faith to be the answer. See, this guy wasn't going to get there himself. Mark wasn't coming to church on his own. Not until somebody said, "Hey, you want to come to church with me?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, sure, I'll try that." See, most people don't come to Jesus on their own. Most people come to Jesus because they're invited. Look, when Jesus found his disciples, Jesus had to ask them. They weren't like, "Oh, I want to follow you." Jesus was like, "No, you come with me." Look, the people you know in your world that have needs and hurts, their chances are they're not going to come and fall on their knees and say, "Lord, help me." No. They need to be introduced. They need to be introduced to Jesus because they don't know him, but you do. and you're the one. You're the connecting factor. I mean, just think about it. This whole story is crazy. There's Jesus preaching to at least 50 people in a house, wall to wall. It's nasty. And then all of a sudden, somebody's banging through the ceiling. I mean, could you imagine if something like that happened in church today? Could you imagine just in the middle of all of a sudden a regular average every... Excuse me.
All right. Everyone just stay calm, stay seated. I'm the head of security here. I'll take care of this. Listen, ladies, we need to get this under control. Don't worry, everyone. I'm a pastor's wife, a pastor, and I'm in charge of security, and I'm pregnant, so it's going to be all good. Okay, who's in charge here of this shenanigans? What do you think you're doing?
Well, I saw that she was in need, so I brought her here so that you could pray for her and heal her.
All right, I could see that. But weren't you afraid of getting in trouble, lady? You just interrupted an entire church service.
Well, yeah, I was, but my friend's way more important than that.
Yeah.
And what about all your friends out here? Aren't you afraid of what they're going to think about you?
Yeah, of course, but God and my friend is way more important than that, and...
All right. You know, as head of security, pastor's wife, pastor, and a pregnant lady, I do approve this situation. We're going to get her some help, everybody. You know what, security and all my ushers, let's go ahead and get her to the back and pray for her. We're going to get her some help.
Here.
Let's give them a hand clap for stepping out and bringing their friend to church.
Man, that security lady is crazy and pregnant. What's up with that? We got to talk to the head of security around here. You know, these pregnant ladies doing dangerous jobs. This is OSHA unapproved OSHA. But in the middle of all of a sudden, things be falling on people's heads. You got people over here screaming, I mean, that's rude. But sometimes people need to be rude because, you know, man, if somebody's going to be rude to me, save my life, be rude. Have at it. Yell at me as you give me my Frappuccino and tell me about Jesus. Look, whatever it takes. I doubt somebody who had just been rescued would say, you know what, I appreciate you saving my life, but you were kind of rough. You messed my hair up. You didn't, you know, excuse me, Mr. Fireman, when you took me out of that blazing building, you didn't even let me grab my shoes. They're really expensive. I mean, look, by whatever it takes that many would be saved, that people would know Jesus, that their problems would be solved, that the answer becomes, look, these four friends, three in this scenario, these four friends, they were tired of praying and waiting for somebody else to be the answer. They said, look, we've been praying and praying and praying that God would fix our friend, but nothing's happened yet. So how about instead of us just praying, how about we listen to our own prayers and we be a part of the solution? See, they had the faith to be the answer, where they could have been kicked out, they could have been shunned, they could have fallen through the roof and they could have become paralyzed. But they said, you know what? Whatever it takes to be a part of the answer to this problem, I'm gonna do it because I have faith that if I meet God halfway, He will meet me, and the answers that need to be found will be found. Because some of us in this place, you know, we've been waiting for too long to see changes. When God's been saying, I'm waiting for you. I got everything you need. I'm waiting for you to make the first move. It's time for us to stand up, see the need, stop ignoring it, stop pretending like it's okay, and do something about it. See, that's what it means. Somebody in my life saw the need, that I was a busted up, messed up, scraggly old junior high kid, and I needed something more in my life because my family wasn't going to help me out with where they were at. And they came out and they became the answer. Somebody saw that in Mark. Hey, look, if you're here today, that's somebody saw that in you. Even if it was your parents that make you come to hear me talk about Jesus, you know what? They're carrying you into this place. And they're hoping one day that you'll open your eyes to see what God has for you to be your answer. So today, leave this place. You need to see the need in your friends and your family and the people around you. Stop looking the other way. Look at it. See what needs to be done. And then ask God, how are you going to let me, how am I going to be the answer? If you guys got something out of God today, let's give him praise. Simple word.